It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Neppe. We all know that books are powerful, but in Sarah Prineas's latest novel for middle grade readers, books are alive and just as powerful as the ideas they contain. The novel is The Lost Books. It was just released this summer. It tells the story of a young man named Alex who's drawn to books even though they're locked away and finds himself fighting a high-stakes battle. Sarah Prineas lives near Iowa City and also works at Prairie Lights Bookstore. Hello, Sarah.
Hello. Thanks for having
me
today.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. Tell me about the inspiration for this book, which will become a series.
Well, this is a funny... Maybe people do this. My family, we're all geeks, like massive fantasy geeks. And so we'll play this game, which is we imagine ourselves as characters in popular fandoms. So my kids will be like, if you were a Lord of the Rings character, who would you be? So we play this in all kinds of like Lord of the Rings or Star Wars or Avatar or whatever. And one day they said, let's like any fantasy genre, let's just invent characters for ourselves. And my son, Theo, is an aspiring librarian. So we thought, okay, if Theo was a fantasy librarian, he'd be working in a library, you know, like labyrinthine, dusty, many stories high, with winding passages and trapdoors and things like that. And the books would be alive. And so we had this whole thing, and we were filling in the corners of this idea. And then my daughter turned to me and she was like, Mom, you have to write this. This has to be a book. And so that's where it came from. It came from sort of, you know, bandying ideas around. And then, oh yeah, I kind of do have to write this
right.
as a book.
Well, and librarian as action hero is really one of the geekiest ideas, but beautiful.
Yeah. Alex, the main character, I wanted to make sure that he was not only really fascinated, like genuinely a reader and fascinated with books, but at the same time, he's a trained sword fighter. Like he can go up against anybody. He's pretty fearless. So putting those two things together really made it click.
And he's living in a land where books have been locked away, and we don't know why the books have been locked away. People don't read them. They are afraid of them. The librarians are protecting them from the public. So tell me a little bit about this land that he inhabits.
Well, 60 years before the book begins, something happened. Like some books got loose, and there was some sort of... struggle where people were endangered by these books run amok, kind of. And so the librarians, in reaction, became guardians. They're protecting people from the books. They've locked the books up in libraries. And so people don't generally read books in this world. The problem with that is that all of the librarians, like whatever it was 50 or 60 years ago, they're starting to die off. So there's no one to carry on this knowledge about what happened and why the books are dangerous. So Alex, my character, steps into this situation where he's working for a librarian who is killed by a book, and he has no idea what's going on.
The librarians are pretty stingy with information.
Yeah, they don't want to tell anybody their secrets. Librarians have secrets, which is true in our world too, right?
Except they are pretty good at sharing,
arcane,
I think.
Arcane librarian secrets.
Can you read just a little bit
from
the book for us?
Yeah. So this is from chapter 3, and it's a little flashback from when Alex does learn something about books, and it sparks his interest in books and also his suspicions about books. So from chapter 3 of The Lost Books. One bitterly cold winter day when he was 10 years old, Alex had hidden in his father's library. It was a fairly large library, but even so, like most people, his father was not a reader. Far from it. Books were useful for starting fires, his pa thought, if you ripped the pages out first, and for propping up tables with one leg too short. His pa's library was kept locked because there was no librarian, and the untended books were left to grow moldy. But young Alex had found the key, and he took refuge there. It was quiet. There were no men-at-arms or women-at-arms in the library. No sword practice, no strategy and tactics, no military history lessons. And there were books. Alex had made his own place, a cozy nest hidden behind a curtain in a windowed recess. There he kept a stack of books that he read like 1,000 grasshoppers eating their way through a wheat field. By the time he was 12, he'd read every book in his father's library, twice. Most people felt a little creepy about going into a library. Even so, as far as Alex knew, books were inanimate objects that sat on the shelf getting dusty, unless he read them, in which case the dust got on him. But one day, he found a book on a top shelf that, somehow, he'd overlooked. Standing on a chair on tiptoe, he pulled it out from where it was hiding behind a rack of encyclopedias. The book was very thick, and it had a worn red leather cover and no title. It smelled of smoke and cinnamon spice. It was much heavier than it looked. Alex heaved it off the shelf and took it to his lair, where he wrapped himself in a blanket. Opening the book, he started to read. And the world around him went away. There was no itchy wool blanket, no chill seeping up from the stone floor, no ache in his bones from sword practice the day before. There was just the book. Even the feel of the bumpy cover faded away, and so did the faintly smoky smell wafting up from the pages. The book had him in its clutches. And then, as he read, the black words spooling across the creamy white page, the letters twitched, pulled themselves up, and marched across the paper and up his ice-cold fingers. He watched, fascinated, feeling prickly all over, as the words crawled like spiky black ants over the back of his hand and then encircled his left wrist. The letters shifted, blurring into one word, then another. Book, he read, then stolen, and the, and never. And then a strange word, codex. Then the letters shifted again, jumbling into nonsense.
That's Sarah Pernius reading from The Lost Books, The Scroll of Kings. And Sarah, this is the beginning of, there are so many mysteries in this book left unanswered. This is the beginning of a series. What is your vision?
It's not the beginning of a series, unfortunately.
It's not.
I know. I intended it to be, and then my publisher decided they want a different book from me next. And so my next book is not the sequel to this book. Although, you know, if enough people read it and there was like this acclaim for it, I could write the sequel. But right now, yeah, my next book is something completely different, unfortunately.
So last time we talked, you had just published a book for young adults, Rose and Thorn. And there were a couple books that came out in a little bit of a retelling of fairy tales for young adult readers. And when we were talking last time, you told me that middle grade readers are your favorite readers to write for. And so you wanted to get back to that. You have, obviously. But what is it about writing for kids in upper elementary and middle school that excites you so much?
You know, I think when people are readers, they have these reading protocols in place. So you approach a book and you're like, okay, this is what I'm going to expect from this book. And so as adults, we're like, oh, I read mysteries, or I only read historical fiction. And, you know, that we have these categories. I feel like kid readers, they have very different reading protocols in place. They approach a book and whatever it is, they're like, oh, yeah, I'll try this. I'll see, you know, I'll take this on board. I think many adults, too, when they're faced with fantasy, they're like, oh, this is going to be a lot of work. Like, I'm going to have to do all this imagination. It's hard to do. Whereas kids are like, that's their their natural milieu is the imagination, the world of the imagination, I think. So I feel it's easier to ease into the reader-writer book relationship with a kid reader.
Did you start out by writing for children?
No, well, I did and I didn't. I was writing kind of almost as an apprenticeship. I was writing short stories, and I had some of them published. And then I wrote The Magic Thief, which was my first novel. And I got an agent, and I sent it to my agent, and I expected her to send it to the regular adult fantasy imprints at publishers. And she sent it to children's publishers. And I was like, what? And she said, no, this is a children's book. Hello. So I wasn't quite aware. But I looked back on the work I've been doing, and it was all really like young adult and middle grade. I just didn't know it until I was trying to seek publication for my first novel. And then I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, that's where I am. That's where I'm supposed to be.
So interesting. You didn't have an audience in mind when you were writing? Were you writing just for you?
When I wrote The Magic Thief, I had spent 4 years writing a really bad book that I knew would never be published. So I was like, I need to write a book with all of my favorite fantasy stuff in it. So adventure, wizards, peril, magic, dragons, biscuits, all those good things. And I put all of that excitement and fun. I wrote that book really fast while working more than a full-time job because it was just so much fun. And I just wanted to have fun. And it turns out, when you have fun writing, you're a pretty good fit for Kid Lit.
Well, and it makes me, these categories that we put books in, you were talking about how adults tend to categorize books and then only read books that fit their category, but also publishers put categories on books. And I think it was Stephen Colbert who made a crack about young adult literature, or as we also like to call it, books that get read.
Yeah.
You know, so was it a blessing to have this put in a literature for children? Do you feel like that was a better journey to get it read and cared about?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, people are always going to be putting books into the hands of children. Kids are always going to be reading. I mean, people worry, e-books are going to take over or whatever. Kids still read real books. The e-book sales for children's literature are small. I think that there's just a really great audience there. I also think, you know, when you talk about young adult literature and like Stephen Colbert's comment there, the really cool thing about young adult and middle grade literature is you open the book and there's no pussyfooting around. The plot starts on page one and it starts moving. And all readers appreciate that. I mean, there are readers who will appreciate a more leisurely approach to the plot. But kid readers generally are not those
although
readers.
I think a lot of readers, when they're in, let's say, junior high or high school and are trying out more adult fiction, have to be encouraged to stay with it.
Stuff is going to start happening. Yeah. But, you know, and two, though, the YA and middle grade books are a gateway for those readers. They get accustomed to reading. The next book that they read might, you know, have a higher bar to entry, but one that they're willing to climb over.
One of the things that has changed dramatically with all of our technology is the reader's ability to communicate with the author. So what is that like in your world? How do you hear from your readers?
Oh, mostly email. Kids email me. I get an email or two every day, pretty much from kid readers. I just got an email. Oh, I got one from somebody yesterday who said they'd read my book 100 times. And that's the kind of passion that they bring to it. Like, if you're a kid's favorite author, they're like all in. There's no like halfway. I've also had really great, like, long-term relationships with readers. Like, there are two readers from India that email me regularly. I've known them before they were in high school, and now I think they're just ending their high school. Like, one of them had a picture of my book for her birthday cake. They'll send me pictures of stuff like that. I'm still in contact with the first kid who ever emailed me when he was in sixth grade, and he's in college now. And those are really special, important relationships. And I feel like those kids feel like my characters are their friends. So it's not even so much me that they're connecting with, but
you're the conduit to
those
characters.
Yeah. I also get emails from kids who are like, well, there's this thing you should do in your next book. Like, or this book, your next book should be about this. I got one last week from a kid who wants a sequel to Ash and Bramble. She told me all the things she wanted in it. Like, I will take notes on that. Okay, thank you.
You also get artwork from people inspired by your books, right?
Yeah, fan art, I guess. Those are really fun because sometimes people will write out stories about characters. And you may have heard it's fanfic, you know, fiction written by fans. But also fan art is really cool because so often that artwork envisions something that I thought was only in my head. And I've gotten some artwork where I've been like, wow, that's exactly the picture that was in my head when I was writing this scene. Like, how did they do it? How do they know? So, yeah, fan art is a very fun perk.
With that kind of connection, do you feel a lot of responsibility to those young people that reach out?
Responsibility in what way?
Like, I don't know. Does the readers have given you their time?
Yeah.
Does it make you feel like you have an additional role that you need to fulfill for them?
I feel like not really. Maybe that's irresponsible of me, but I feel like it's my job to create a world that they want to enter and characters that they want to know, and hopefully make them feel something, you know, with the plot and the characters and everything. But beyond that, they're kind of on their own. I do, however, feel strongly that the work that I put out there for kids shouldn't harm them in any way. And so I'm really careful with things like violence. I don't like kids' books that are violent or bloody or gory. I know that there are kids who like that kind of fiction, but that's not, I'm never going to do that. And so if there's any responsibility there, like, I'll go all in for peril. Like, my kids can be in danger, right? But it's always a step removed from real, like, violence or real, you know, life-threatening danger. So
can you give us a hint of what's coming next? The book that is not the sequel to this book?
Yeah, my next book is called Dragonfell. And it'll be out next May or June, I think. And it's about a kid who is different from everyone else in his remote sheep farming village. And he keeps telling people, like, different is not dangerous. But people treat him differently because he looks different and he behaves differently. So he has to go off into a world in which dragons are vanishing to find out who he is and what his connection to the dragons is. And he has a young friend named Maud, who's a scientist, to help him.
Well, Sarah Prineas, we can't wait.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. Sarah Prineas, she is the author most recently of The Lost Books, The Scroll of Kings, and Dragonfell will be out next summer. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbie.